Hello and welcome to the Just for Gamers Video Games Podcast. Episode 233, Shooting the Poon. In this week's episode, I take you back in time. JFG Ash goes full VR. JFG Alex returns to the toon.
Howie!
We get quite the ex-boner. And finally, that train set thing.
It's that train set thing. Hello and welcome to the JFG Podcast. This is episode 233. My name is Alex, and I'm joined, as ever, by my very good friend, Ash. Hey, buddy. How's it going there?
Hey, buddy. As always, feeling good on a Wednesday. Yeah, sparkling thoughts and give me the hope to go on. It's been a couple of weeks, buddy. I'm all out of practice.
I don't even know how to do this.
231 episodes. Just, they don't mean shit anymore. I don't know how to talk or speak. I mean, that's just me
in general.
Or count. What is counting? At work, we always have, like, fucking... Like, my boss, he loves, like, physics, but doesn't understand any of it. So he comes up with these questions. He's like, right, so if I have anti-gravity boots on and I jump or I hover above the earth...
Yeah.
Right... For an hour, because like the Earth moves at like 600 miles an hour or something like that. Will, in an hour's time, will I be 600 miles away? Now, my logic is no, because you're already traveling at that speed when you jump. So you'll continue at that speed. And it's only, you know, there's no friction, so you're not going to slow down or anything. I mean, that's my thought. But, you know...
It's a very difficult question to answer.
It's a question that cannot be answered, I believe. If you know the answer, please let us know. You can find us on Discord.
You can just head over to our Discord channel and fill us in on the science behind that if you're some sort of physicist, for example.
True.
We'd love to hear from you because we just don't know. It remains unanswered by the podcast.
It's an unknown. Yeah, you can find that Discord on our website, the Just for Gamers podcast. Is it? No, what's it? What's the jfgpodcast.co.uk? That's how much I know.
Something like that.
Fuck it. Find it. Google it. You'll find
it's
out.
Kicking about on the internet. Fucking use your brains.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not my job. Anyway, it's been a couple of weeks, buddy. I haven't made any notes since last week when we were going to do the podcast, but some sickness came down, so we couldn't do it.
It was unfortunate. So it was poor, sad times, dark days.
Bleak.
Yeah.
Is a word that can describe that as well. So, yeah, a couple of weeks ago, buddy, what did I do? Fuck it. Oh, yeah, it was bonfire night. There you go. I totally forgot about that. Luckily, it's in the script. My parents came up for the weekend. It was nice. I drank loads of alcohol and ate loads of nice food. And on the Saturday, we had a bonfire party at our house. And, bonfire parties, like, we've always, like, my missus' brother is about 3 or 4 years older than us. And he's a massive kid, and he loves fireworks. So he always spends, like, a couple hundred quid on these fucking fireworks every year. And when we first moved to Nottingham, like, 10 years ago... it was a case of we all got fucking messed up, you know, and then everyone ended up coming back to our house, drinking till stupid o'clock in the morning. It was great. 10 years later, mate, everyone's got fucking kids. Like, there must have been about 30 kids at my house on bonfire night. I was like, what's this all about? This is, luckily, obviously, I was still drinking and so everyone else was, but... It's not the point, though. We had to look after these kids. Anyway, it was a lovely time. We had I had a bonfire going. I had some firewood or just wood stashed away from when I moved in. I had all those fucking, what are they called? Fence panels that were all knackered behind, that I found. Luckily, the people that lived here before me left them there because they knew I'd need them for bonfire night. So that was really nice of them. So yeah, burnt all them. Had a barbecue under a gazebo. I was obviously in charge of said barbecue.
I have to say, buddy, I'm getting an overwhelming sense of deja vu at this moment in time.
I've already gone through this.
Almost as if you've literally told me all of this before, suggesting that maybe you might be on the wrong pod notes.
I think I'm on the wrong pod notes. Know. I'm pretty sure I'm on the wrong pod notes. Yeah, we're on the next episode.
I mean, we can do last one again if you want.
Why not?
We might do better this time.
There you go. I wonder how close to, you know, scripting I was on.
I think you'd find very, because that was all very familiar to me.
There you go. There you go. That's what I've done this couple of weeks.
He's probably going to mention the old fence posts shortly, and then perhaps the barbecue under the gazebo, and then there it was.
The gazebo. Didn't rain, though, so I was all right. But still, got very drunk that weekend. Either way, the week later, right?
I'm so glad. Sorry. I genuinely thought I was having like an aneurysm or something. I'm so pleased that it's not me.
No, it's me. You're welcome, everyone.
It's very nice to hear, but I was just really quite concerned that I might have stepped through some sort of portal at that point.
Come back thought, 2 weeks. Maybe.
Yeah, and I don't need that, you know? Well, I don't need to relive those weeks. There's been illness and not much fun.
Oh, so, you know,
I don't want to do that.
I'm glad I made your day better.
Thanks for clearing things up.
Being stupid.
Jesus Christ.
All right, anyway, so actually 2 weeks ago, not 3 weeks ago, what did I do? Looks like I did absolutely fuck all, because I have two lines of notes here. On the Friday, I had a work development day where we...
Big news.
Yeah, mate, yep. Huge news. Where we spoke about the future and stuff. Like, I mean, that's what we did in the morning for 2 hours. And then after that, buddy, I had one of the best experiences in my whole fucking life.
Oh, good Lord.
So, our boss there, he knows that I love gaming. And he's had a go on the old PlayStation VR. I thought it was pretty wicked, pretty awesome. So he booked us a 2-hour session at Zero Latency. Have you ever heard of Zero Latency, buddy?
I have not, buddy. Please spill the beans.
So
the virtual beans.
Zero Latency is a... All banks to this website. I'm trying to get some information about it. I can't. It's a VR experience in free roam. So it's a big warehouse where you put VR on and you walk around like a penis.
Oh, wow! That sounds amazing.
It was fucking insane, buddy. This thing was awesome. I believe they're using one of the like original Oculuses because like, you know, compared to the PS VR, like, you know, screen-wise, it was a bit poor. But, like, after a minute, I was like, I'm fine with this. And we had three games. I'm trying to find their names right now. We had a zombie survival. Had one that was set in a spaceship. Oh, fucking come on, internet. I don't know what it was called, but we were in a spaceship. And the last one was a follow-on from the zombie survival, which was like an outbreak. So, firstly, zombie survival was like big square. And zombies, hordes of zombies come in. You have to shoot the fuck out of them. So you've got this gun in your hand, obviously. And it's got a couple of buttons on the side where you can... I think there was like four guns. You had like sniper, assault rifle... shotgun and I don't know, like normal rifle, I think it was like single shot or whatever. And like before we're going, I'm like, are there any red barrels anyway? He's like, oh, I know your type. I'm like, yeah, I know, I play games, well done, yeah. So yep. And he was like, yeah, there are red barrels. I was like, fucking sweet, red barrels, I love red barrels. And then I was like, is it got auto loading when you holster your weapon? He's like, oh, I don't know. I was like, ah, I fucking got you now. So I was there like with my like fucking assault rifle, ran out of bullets, quickly pressed the button to swap to like my shotgun. And it was a pump action gun as well. So you're like, oh, bam, 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 going mental on these zombies. And then swap back. I was like, yes, it is auto loading. I was like, here we go. Time to fucking cheese the game, buddy. So I was just hot swapping through every single weapon under the sun during that one. And yeah, it was just insane. Like you could walk about. At first, I was very like, this is weird. Walking around, didn't really do a lot of movement. There were like lifts as well, so there was two stories. You could get in a lift and go up to like the second level. It was kind of like a junkyard. There was just like pallets or whatever. You could walk around up there, and being up there wasn't too friendly on the eyes, I must say.
I'm sure
it was it was a bit awkward. But hey, it was good fun. Ended up getting a top score on that one, buddy. Killing,
yes.
I killed 164 zombies.
That's how you do.
27 riot zombie kills and 2 big zombie kills. I ended up with like some big, like, what's like, not like a railgun, like a submachine. Not a submachine. What's the big fucking guns that spin round? Rattlegun? Railgun?
Railguns, aren't they?
Those kind of things.
Minigun sort of things.
Yeah, exactly. You know the ones. And then the second one, which was the space adventure, this was amazing. So, story kind of goes, you've been sent to the spaceship to go and, like, save the crew. Singularity, it was called.
Nice.
And this one's totally different. It's not just a square and you're stuck in there. This actually makes you move around a lot more. So what it does, there was 5 of us. We got split into 2 teams, a 3 and a 2. One team obviously went one side of the room, the other one went the other. And then there's like corridors that you have to walk through. And obviously this is like choreographed, so none of you interact with each other. You go through a short corridor, then a door closes and you go up a level, and then another one opens and you're in another little corridor. So you feel like you're going all over the fucking place, but you're still just in this, like, you're just in this room. But it was amazing. There was one point where we come out of this elevator, we walk out, and he's like, yeah, turn, look to your right or whatever. So we're like, oh, fuck. And there's like an arced wall going up. So obviously it's flat. Like, think of Prey, the original Prey. You know how you could walk up on the walls? It was that.
Gibbon.
And he was like, yeah, you're going to have to walk up that. And I'm like, oh, this is going to absolutely not go well. And I started walking, and it was just incredible. Like, obviously, everything was moving around me while I was walking, and I got halfway, and everyone else was like, "Whoa, this isn't right." And I just stood there, and I was just like, "This is incredible." And I was looking up and around, and I was like, "I feel like I'm walking on a wall right now." It was awesome. Such a good experience. Nice. And then obviously there was like some massive boss at the end where we had to shoot all the different things and then shoot them in the face. Like classic Destiny. Few different like mechanics going on there. It was good. And then the final one was the whatever it's called, the zombie apocalypse thing. Let me just find my scorecard. 1 sec. So this was a mixture of, obviously, the zombies with the same kind of scenarios, walking around the little pathways and stuff like that. I got 269 zombie kills on this one. I did pretty good.
Strong.
Yeah, it's called Outbreak Origins. There you go. And this has the same premise. Like I said, different corridors. And then suddenly... you have to like start walking up the side of a building and you're looking down and going like, this is fucking messed up. And unfortunately, unlike the smoothness of like the curved like wall where you're walking up it, this had like planks of wood which you had to walk up, and it wasn't as, you know, friendly on the stomach, this, because obviously you take a step and then your camera just goes up, but obviously you're just walking forward. It was a bit jarring. There was a bit where
lunch under town by the sounds.
It wasn't too bad if you took it slowly. It was okay. I did find a way of cheesing it. I was like, well, I just need to get up onto this building above me, so if I just take a step left into the building, it would just teleport me to the top of it. Like, your screen would go fade to black and then come back in and you'd be on top of it. I was like, meh, oh well, I'll just do that from now on, thank you very much. So that was fine. There was a bit, obviously, like when you get to the top of the building, you know, a helicopter comes by and you have to jump in it. That was an experience, flying around on a helicopter. And I was like, okay, do I try and jump out of this thing just for shits and giggles? You know, I was in that mode of like, can I break the game as much as possible? Yeah,
what can you do?
Yeah, exactly, pushing the boundaries. But anyway, it was a fucking awesome experience. I highly recommend this for anyone like wanting to try it, or even if you don't want to try it, because the majority of people who were with me, a couple of them enjoy games, but the other people were just like old fogies in a way, you know, like management type, I'll put it down as. And they came out of it absolutely buzzing. It was fucking awesome. And then obviously after that, I got absolutely smashed on, what was I drinking? What's it? Snake oil? Not snake oil. Neck oil, wasn't it?
Neck oil.
Yeah. I got absolutely... I had like 10 pints of that. I was steaming. It was...
It's a beautiful beer.
It's lovely, buddy. It was lovely. So, yeah. What a fucking day, buddy. That's mainly what I've been playing these couple of weeks, because the other stuff's just the normal thing. So that's why I went on a lot about that. And it was... Yeah, it was awesome. Definitely worth a check out if you find the time. I've already seen this shit on Groupon and things like that. Obviously, the next day I felt like shit. So we went looking at sofas and I got a McDonald's and that was it.
There you go.
Yeah. Last weekend, I don't care what I did because it wasn't as good as the weekend before or the Friday before.
Well, fair enough.
Exactly. So there you go, buddy. That's pretty much what I've been up to, or anything of importance. How about you? What have you been doing?
Well, thanks very much, buddy. I've been to Newcastle this weekend just gone.
Cool.
So it was a cheeky 4-day week at
work. It's not the first time. Probably won't be the last.
It's not the first time. trips to Newcastle for me seem to be following a fairly regular pattern.
See, it would have been better if you carried on with like your pod notes from the first time you went to Newcastle.
Yeah. yeah, just reliving that fucking nightmare shit show. Yeah. Newcastle is a fucking awesome town. I have to say.
There you go.
It's an awesome town. It's full of great pubs and restaurants and things to do. Everyone there seems to be quite nice. Like, I've never seen any bother from anyone. People like just chat to you and shit. There's something about the Geordie accent that just makes everyone sound friendly as well. So I might be sort of misreading it, and actually they're all evil. But yeah, it was. It's just a fucking awesome place, and we were going out there for a wedding. But on the Friday evening, we were just having a look while we were going up on the train. And it was like, oh, fucking hell. Little Comets were playing in Newcastle, which is their hometown, in this, like, expo centre, which is like a sort of industrial unit with all exposed, like, aircon pipes and shit.
Yeah.
This big, like, Art Deco spiral staircase. And we were like, fucking, we will have some of that, actually. Thank you very much. So, yeah, went to see Little Comets. Beforehand, cheeky little pub crawl, stayed at the Easy Hotel, buddy.
Ooh,
and
smooth.
I cracked a joke to the woman on the desk and it didn't land at all.
No,
she was like, have you ever stayed at Easy Hotels before? I was like, no, but to be honest, like, it's been a nightmare. Like, everywhere else I've stayed, it's just felt really difficult. So I thought it was... I couldn't believe my luck, and here we are. And I think that's really funny, and she just stared at me. She was like, oh, okay.
She didn't get the joke, maybe?
I don't know. Perhaps it went over her head.
Maybe.
I don't know. But I mean, easy it was, buddy. Easy to find fault with.
Nice.
As we checked classic. Into basically a cupboard, which had no... tables or furniture other than the bed. Nice. So everything just had to go on the floor.
That's where I put everything.
Yeah, and you're probably going to want a bathroom with a glass door into it that doesn't lock or stay closed. That's
right.
Probably great.
Yeah.
It's especially good, a glass door, when you're having a shit.
Yeah.
So, really good.
Wow. But it was not even cheap. Frosted. Was it just plain
glass? It was semi-frosted, but like, it was a half-assed frosting.
The top half was frosted. Yeah.
No, but. I mean, I've stayed in a B&B in Hastings where there was a completely sheet glass shower cubicle in the bedroom with the bed.
Like you do.
So, you know, I've stayed in some pretty shit places. This was one of them.
Yeah,
not the best. But yeah, so it was a fucking awesome gig. Had a lovely steak meal at Miller & Carter in town. And it's very funny going into the gig. They said that they're trying to shine a light on all these bands that have like really extravagant riders. You know, the sort of lists of food and drink that they want at the venue when they're doing a tour or whatever. You get these like, obviously there's now no money in recorded music of any kind. So everyone's having to tour their tits off to make anything. That's like where the money is in the industry now. And as such, like there's thousands and thousands of gigs happening in the UK every year, and there's thousands and thousands of bands that are asking for ludicrous fucking stuff on their riders and then it like having like a quarter of it and then fucking off, and the rest just like goes in the bin.
Nice.
Little Comets wanted to like shine a light on that, so they donated all of their riders for like the whole tour to this food bank charity, and asked people to bring stuff along. It was had like a harvest festival vibe, you know, like bring your fucking sweet corn, bring your tins of beans, bring your toiletries and so on. But if you're gonna do that, buddy, I would suggest you should probably let the security on the door know about it.
Probably.
Because otherwise they're searching me, and I've got a tin of tuna in one side of my coat.
Yeah, get
and
that protein.
A 4-pack of soap in the left
side. You gotta stay
of my
clean.
Coat. And they're like, why do you have these things? Because we were there very early.
Yeah.
And there's people lining up behind me with fucking, you know, like tins of beans and oh look, he's got some tuna as well. Yeah. Here's some spam. Let's have it all. Everyone's turning up seemingly armed with shit tinned goods.
Nice. So like you do.
Anyway. It was cool. They had the venue was awesome. They had fucking 10 great beers in a venue, and it wasn't expensive.
That's good.
It was Newcastle.
Yeah, North is good for cheapness.
It was a fantastic night. We saw a band called Heir, spelled H-E-I-R, as in Heir to the Throne.
Oh, nice.
They were great, and we were drunk, and their equipment was all fucked, so they could only play like 3 songs, but they were really good.
Nice.
And so we were like, at the end he was like, we're really sorry we couldn't play for longer. As a thank you, we're going to, for bearing with us, we're going to reduce all our t-shirts to a fiver. I was like, I'll have one. Very much in the market for a £5 t-shirt.
I'm a huge fan of the £5 t-shirt, buddy.
Yeah, so he went over there and I was like, I'm here for my £5 t-shirt. He was like, very, very well, sir, very well. And I was like, that was great. It was a shame we couldn't hear more of you. It's like, I was like, you playing again soon? He was like, oh, well, we're doing a UK tour in March. We're playing all over the place. I was like, are you playing in London? He was like, yeah. I was like, we'll come to that. I'm like drunk at this point. Yeah. And they're like this little tiny band from Leeds. So they were kind of mildly baffled by that. They're like, oh, okay. And sort of humoured me. And then he paused for a minute and he was like, wait, like, do you really want to come? We were like, yeah. He was like, because I do have tickets. If you want to buy, do you want to buy tickets? And he was like, absolutely, like, incredulous. Yeah. He was like, I can't believe this. We're selling tickets for London in March. Yeah. Like, we played 3 songs tonight. They probably thought it was like their worst ever gig. And so we bought tickets, and like, he just started pissing himself because I bought the tickets off him. And then afterwards, I was like, whereabouts is it? Like, where are you playing?
Where in London is this place?
It was like Camden Assembly Halls. I was like, sweet, I like it there. It was all a bit back to front. But
I love it, buddy.
Yeah.
It's special.
Fucking great night. Yeah. Went off to a speakeasy afterwards called Prohibition, which was really cool.
So just a pub. Yeah.
It was a proper speakeasy, buddy, with a secret entrance and shit.
I feel that's just a pub with a back door.
It's fair enough if that's what you think, then it's gimmicky. I'll have you know, but at the same time,
I like it though.
It's the best place to go if you want dudes with little twisty tashes.
Always,
there they are.
Why don't you want
that? Selling, you know, those caramel bars, like the chunky fucking stripy caramel.
Yeah, my grandparents used to have them. They were ace. Loved them.
Yeah.
How much were they? Like £5?
So they had like 20 beers and then those caramel bars. That's all they served there.
No pork scratchings, no nuts.
Like 2 a.m, I'm having like some fucking weird ale and a caramel bar. And I'm caned. And there's a dog and he's very friendly. And then we went home.
Nice.
So yeah, that was my trip up to Newcastle. Obviously I went to a wedding, but I was very hungover for that. So what can you do?
just got to suck it up, buddy, and fucking go along with it, really, haven't you?
It's a fucking hard gibbon. Other than that, buddy, all I've really been doing is playing video games. So probably go and talk about some of those.
Well, I need to know what you're drinking this evening first, buddy.
It's a real mix, buddy. I'm currently drinking this West Coast Session IPA called First Chop.
Ooh.
Part of a Flavourly collection.
Is there one called the Final Chop as well?
There may well be. My next one is this one's called Foxtail. It's some sort of bitter. Not normally my scene, but I'll give it a burn. And if things do get desperate, then I've got a bottle of Porcupine Ridge, buddy. It's a nice Shiraz from 2018. And I'm ready to go there. So that's me.
Happy days. What about you? I'm on the Piston Head flat tire at the moment. It's a dry hopped lager. It does the job when it's on sale for 12 for £9 in Tesco, buddy.
That is good. That is good value.
It is good value. And that's why I buy it when it's at that value. And
absolutely.
Never, ever the time.
That's why you come up here.
It is, pretty much. That's why I stay up here.
Sweet. Let's go talk about video games.
Cool.
What have you been playing, buddy? Do you want to kick things off?
Well, I've been playing some more Call of Duty. That game's really, really good. I know a couple of the guys are itching to get it, and we're going to be waiting until that drops in the sale, but I can't wait for you guys to get your hands on that game, because it's very, very tasty, buddy. I still haven't touched a single player or the co-op. It's all about the multiplayer, enjoying it. And I'm not just sticking to like team deathmatch or anything. I'm dabbling about, buddy. I'm swinging my dick and seeing where it lands.
Oh, it's nice. You whip your dick back and forth. Yeah, absolutely.
It's a very, very good game. I'm trying to think, obviously we're coming to the end of the year and we're going to be talking about games of the year. I mean, it's been a light year for games for us this year, I think, but I mean, we'll have a good view in there, but this is definitely going to be up there, I think, for me, which is nice. I have been playing Destiny 2 a hell of a lot the past couple of weeks. I kind of took a bit off it, but for some reason I've been dragged back in, mainly to try and get the raid done. So I said that I wouldn't really talk about this much more, apart from when I start doing the raid, and I have done. I haven't finished it yet, or we haven't finished it yet. We've done it 3 times so far, getting through different stages. Last night, we stuck at it for a couple of hours. We smashed through, there's 4 encounters, we smashed through the first 3. There's not much to say about it. It's very well thought out. It's very team-based, like splitting each other. Like 6 of you go in, you have to mainly stay in groups of 3. And while one team's doing one thing, the other has to do another kind of thing like that. It's very cool. And we've got a save point now at the raid boss, the final encounter. So hopefully tomorrow we're going to smash that out. I don't really know. We'll see how it's going. But yeah, my Guardian, he's smashing it up at like 960 now. So I'm pretty happy with that. And I'm chasing some guns and things like that. Nothing exciting for anyone to listen to, but you know, just a little update. The only other game that I played over the weekend, and this was with my kids, was Luigi's Mansion 3, buddy.
Shit, and how was that, buddy?
It's fine.
Oh, well.
It's a Nintendo game featuring Luigi in a hotel full of ghosts. And you have to catch said ghosts. No, it's nice. Like, it's... I'm going to say it's quite basic in its way of, you know, progression. Like, you start off with this, then you get another thing, and it shows you how to use that. So for that next stage, you use that bit of equipment. Then after that, you get another bit of equipment, and you start using that, and so on and so on. And it slowly progresses until a stage comes, and then you have to start using all of them at different times and things like that. So it's just about learning the mechanics of the game. None of them are, you know, groundbreaking or, you know, original in any way, shape, or form.
No, well, I was going to say, I've seen... It's... any sort of one time or another, I've seen clips from all three of those games, and they kind of all look the same.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's the lack of progression with Nintendo graphics as they continue to bring out...
I mean, it looks really nice. I can't believe they got this thing running on the Switch, to be honest.
I believe it. Yeah. But it's very much sort of more of the same, I suppose, yeah, for the franchise.
It's a simple kind of 2.5D platformer, in a way. It's nice. It's very kooky. I think that's the word to use. And yeah, it's good. Like, the kids were fucking loving it. So I was buzzing off that, buddy, to be honest. So it was good. We've got Pokemon Sword, I think, as well installed. So my son's been playing that. I haven't even touched it because I don't think I can be asked, you know, mate. I can't be asked.
Certainly isn't reviewing very well.
No, exactly.
Lots of disappointment, which is such a shame, because I felt like the previous remaster was sort of a stopgap,
really.
And this
enjoyed
was going to be the big one.
Yeah, I don't know if it was the nostalgia that made me like it a lot, but it was just the fact that it was 3D. I was like, wow, this is really cool. I'm trying to remember what the last one on the 3DS was. Was it Sun and Moon? I think it was. That was kind of 3D, but not as nice as Let's Go, whatever, Pikachu or Eevee, whichever one you want. This doesn't, I don't know, it hasn't grabbed me in the same way that I'm like, oh yeah, I actually really want to play this. But maybe it's just a case of I just don't want to play any more Pokemon games, maybe. Who knows? Maybe I'm at that age where I can say that.
Well, I think that's probably fair enough, to be honest. I don't know. I mean, you would hope that a game like that, you know, with that sort of, you really loved when you were younger, and it's kind of still magical to your kids as well, you would kind of hope that would sort of still hold its magic.
Suffice, but, or whatever, but yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'll get stuck into it at some point, but just, yeah, no, at the moment, it's a no-go from me, buddy. But yeah. So that's pretty much what I've been playing. Played a bit of F1 and a bit of PES as well. Been playing PES with my daughter. She's getting pretty good, which is worrying. We're playing on regular. Like, she's six, and like, we're playing on the same team, and it mainly is the case of like, we do loads of passing, getting down the pitch, and then I wait for her to make a run, I do a through ball, and then she bangs it in the back of the net. I'm like, fucking sweet. This is ace.
That'll do.
Yeah. She loves it. I'm like, cool. Like, my son couldn't give a shit about football games, but she's all about it anyway. But yeah, it's fun. I still don't know what to think of that game. I don't know. Do I like it? Do I not? Do I care? I don't know. Either way. Yeah, so there you go, buddy. That's what I've been playing. What about you?
Mostly tucking into Game Pass, as is often the case.
He loves it.
I've also been playing a fair bit of PES. Like, actually quite an alarming amount of PES. And yeah, I don't know if I like it.
See, this worries me that you don't know. So how the fuck am I meant to know if I like this or not?
I like what it's trying to do.
Yeah.
And that
is enough.
I like what it's trying to do, and when I'm playing single player, then it sort of works, and I can sort of do what I want. And when things don't come off, then it feels like that's quite simmy and quite correct. Online, it doesn't work properly at all. I've been playing it with Funk, a little bit with friend of the podcast, Paul, as well.
Yeah.
And we've got to the stage now where we can, for the most part, even teams that are mega statted, like my club teams full of 95s,
yeah,
we can pretty much stop them at point. And the reason for that is because this game is shit.
And
it's so hard to play that unless
stats don't make a difference.
Not as much as before, because you can't fucking do anything. Like, it takes 10 seconds to, like, control the ball and release it.
Yeah.
And we're playing the game as it wants to be played. So you receive the ball, you take no more than one touch, and you play in a 30-degree arc in front of you.
Yeah, exactly. What way you're facing.
You don't try and play it behind you or at right angles. You don't try and play any passes over, like, 10 yards. And what happens is we completely dictate the possession of a fucking football match because no one else is doing that. They're, like, pinging over the top balls, like, all sorts of, like, fucking, you know, Hollywood shit. It just doesn't work because the game is crap.
Yeah.
So, if anything, it's of a huge benefit, the fact that it's so hard to play means that we're not getting beat. Like, genuinely, I think we've played 20 and lost 2. Like, genuinely, and that's fine, except it's also not very fucking fun because we can't do anything either. So, you know, we can keep the ball and knock it about and that, but I like what they've tried to do here, but it's so half-baked that it's shit, and I can really enjoy it and appreciate it, and when I'm playing the AI on a medium difficulty, I can find a lot of fun there, and I really enjoy knocking it about, but there's no escaping the fact that this is a rubbish game. It's a rubbish game, and you know,
is it something that you feel like they're going to build on, or do you reckon they'll just be like, "Nah, that was bad. Let's just go back to how it was."
I honestly don't know. I mean, every time PES gets a little bit worse, I can't help but think this might be the end this time, because,
like, this is the year.
Finally, we already don't know why they continue to make this game.
I have no idea.
They're not making any other games, so you know, it's
mental.
It's Konami's last bastion, and you presume that it must just be that they're so such little trouble and they're spending so little money on it that it's kind of, you know, making a small profit, and you know, they're happy to just leave it alone. But the whole game, it could be a wonderful, wonderful game if it was in someone else's hands, but still, like, the whole nature of it is such a fucking mind fuck that the menus, like, we've talked about it for years, but I just don't know how you release a game with this menu system. And I do know, the way that it works is there's a load of people who are developing the game. They present ideas, and some honcho, some fucking silly cunt, is sitting in a boardroom, and he's like, no, or he's like, I want you to do this. And he's untouchable, and therefore everyone has to bow to his whims. I can only assume that that's what's going on. There's, you know, the crazy evil Illuminati of Konami just barking decisions down the chain. I can't believe the people designing the menus think they are good. That's what I'm saying. They can't think that this game is put together well. Because you can't, because it's ludicrous, you know? Yeah. Like, I refuse to believe it, you know? It's just impossible. So, it's a toilet game, but I found a lot of fun in it, and I still prefer it to the alternative, if I'm honest. And that's the crux. That's the bottom line.
Nice. That's the bottom dollar.
It's better than FIFA. It's more fun in single player, and it's more fair and unpredictable in multiplayer. And that's about it. So yeah, Pez, there you go. elsewhere, buddy, I've just tucked into... Well, I'm still playing Outer Worlds. I know that Cosmic Dad It's got a little bit to say about that later on, so we'll save that. But I don't know how far in, like maybe 16, 17 hours, something like that.
Hey, finding it still, okay?
I like it. I just think it's good, not great. As I said before,
yeah,
like,
I think you're right with that.
I like a lot about it. I also think that if it was a 150-hour game, like Fallout, for example, that I would lose interest way before the end. I think the fact that it isn't one of those, it's as far as I'm aware, it's sort of 20 to 40 hours, depending on how much you're really plowing into all of the side bits and bobs and so on.
Yeah,
that's the right length for it, I think, and that's fine. And the motherfucker himself, Mr. Spencer, has been talking about the nature of games this week, and we'll talk about that shortly as well, because he had a good point that rings true with this. But yeah, I like it. It's cool. I'll definitely finish it. But it's you know, 8 out of 10 material. It's not a game of the year thing or anything for me. It's just fun, and I've enjoyed it. So
nice.
There we are. Elsewhere, Microsoft obviously had their big event while we've been off the air, and they announced quite a lot of stuff. We've got some of it coming up in the news, but one of the things they announced was, you know, like 50 new games for Game Pass, which is great, and I've been playing a couple of them that were added to the service immediately. I've also got Rage 2 installed. I'm looking forward to tucking into that this week.
Yeah, I need to get that on.
Very glad I didn't spend on that.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
But yeah, I'm sure that'll run like ass on my little shit heap, as does the Talos Principle, buddy.
Nice.
Which is a game that I was kind of excited to play. I've always had a little bit of a hard-on for this sort of Portal, Turing Test, you know, those sorts of first-person puzzlers that...
Yeah, what was the one that we got? The one set in space? I can't remember.
I don't know. There's been quite a few,
and they're all very. Test? I think it was Turing Test.
Turing Test was kind of in space. Yeah, you're in like a moving cube thing.
Yeah,
there's like an AI, but also like and that was all like moving little balls around and changing colours and that sort of thing.
That was very cool. Enjoyed that.
So the premise of this one is you wake up and you are a robot. A god voice in the ether who's like, you are born, my child, and now you will be tested or whatever. And that all seems kind of tongue-in-cheek. So you start completing puzzles, but very early doors you stumble across basically a terminal that you can type into, and you can talk to what seems to be like a library AI system, which kind of confirms that you're in a simulation, basically, stuck in a simulation of a very old computer that's been running for a very long time. And the game becomes a sort of pander to the fake god whilst trying to work out how to get out, which is a really good premise for a video game. Like, really, really cool. And the terminal stuff's done really well. The voicing is done really well. Unfortunately, the puzzles aren't very good, in my opinion.
That's not a good thing.
That's not the like gameplay.
The Witness, where the puzzles are all the same, but really hard.
No, I mean, this is very much, and is I'm really early in it, so you know, I don't want to be too critical just yet. I'm going to give it a proper chance, but I've probably done like 15 puzzles up until this point, and they've all been basically the same thing. There's robots on a track, like for example, a floating sphere that if you get too close to it, it runs at you and explodes, or like a Gatling gun attached to a wall. Then there's force fields across certain entrances and exits, and then the third element is these like jamming little radar satellite thingies on tripods, and you can pick them up and you can place them places, and you can use them either to neutralize a robot that's moving about, or a Gatling gun, or a force field. So that's the basis for the puzzles. And so, for example, maybe you need to jam a force field to allow one of the robots through and then unjam it so it's stuck the other side and you can walk past. Or maybe you just simply have to get two of them, jam a Gatling gun and a thingy. And you're collecting basically Tetris pieces. And once you get all the Tetris pieces,
Tetraminos.
Then you can put them on, there's like locks to unlock new areas, and you literally place the Tetris pieces on the lock until the door opens. So
nice.
That's the start of the game. That's probably the first hour or so, I suppose. It initially thought it looked quite good graphically, and then very quickly decided it didn't. Because it's really high res texturing.
Yeah, I remember seeing some images.
On a sort of... Yeah, in a shit landscape. It feels very like Unity demo.
It's very polished, but lacking
in anything.
Yeah.
Like, there's only like 10 assets in each level. Yeah. And, you know, they look very nice, but with repetition, they look very shit.
It doesn't feel natural.
It's kind of budget.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's sort of weird. I mean, the story behind it is so cool that I am willing to give it a little bit more. But essentially, you know, it doesn't really matter what the story is if the entire game is these, like, force field neutralization puzzles.
Yeah.
Then inevitably that's going to wear thin. Well, it already has, as you can hear. So, semi-disappointed, but a little bit early doors to be absolutely certain.
Yeah, fair days, buddy. I might have to install that. Give it a burn.
Gibbons, buddy, it's part of your subscription, so why wouldn't you, innit?
I do love a good puzzle game.
I do love a good subscription. And, probably. Game Pass. Fucking sweet, buddy.
The best.
The other thing I've been playing is that train set thing. So, I can't remember what this is called. Is it called Tracks?
The train set simulator. Yeah, I know.
There you go.
I'm very excited. I've got that installed.
This is a wooden train set simulator. Yeah, that's literally all it is.
What more do you want in a game?
I don't think you need it to do anything else if that's what it was designed to do. How compelling that is in the long term is another question. But in the short term, I built a train set.
Yeah, you did.
And then you can go first person on the train and go around the train set. And
fucking sweet.
You can maybe build a town next to the train set.
Yeah.
And maybe you can put people in there. And maybe you can have cars. Like, it's a wooden train set. It's the window of the early learning simulator, but you've got all day to play about with it. And to some people, that's going to be a really, really fun thing. This is a great game for kids. Like, fantastic. And from my perspective, it's just quite satisfying. They've really nailed the look of those wooden sets, you know, the way they lock together, the texturing on them and everything. It's all got the sort of bloom effect on it as well, with these little sort of wooden looking trees and stuff. And like, there's even like a fat controller looking motherfucker you can put down. So it's a train set simulator. That's what it is.
The possibilities are endless, my friend.
They are. And the whole thing is pointless, but it doesn't need to be anything else necessarily.
It's all about just having fun, building a train set, buddy.
Just build a train set.
Fuck yeah. I've got it installed. I tried to get my daughter to play it, but the tutorial was quite confusing to start off with. Well, for her it was anyway. And she was like, and I was like, fuck that, let's play something else. But I'm ready to go.
It falls foul of the same thing that most strategy games on console fall foul of, the controller.
Yeah, totally.
If this is on a keyboard and with a mouse, then
you
it's
can just
very
click
intuitive.
And off you go. Yeah, I'll Absolutely. Be playing it with that.
Yeah.
Just watching the trailer on repeat at the moment going, yes.
It's got a whiff of the control scheme from like Football Manager on the Xbox 360 about it, where it's like... Uh-huh. Like, you've played games since you were four, but for some reason you're like, I don't know. So yeah, it's it'll take a bit of getting used to, but it does what it does very, very well, and if that's what you're after, then you're in for a treat.
I am, because I love trains, buddy.
I know that you're a huge fan of them.
Love trains.
So yeah, that's what I've been playing, that's what you've been playing. I suppose we should probably move on, B.
Gibbons.
And now it's time for the news.
The news.
Number one.
Number Wang.
Number one. Apple is launching a combined VR and AR headset with a focus on gaming, watching videos, and virtual meetings.
Cool. I guess. Yeah. Sure. Why not? Fuck it.
I mean, I don't know. So,
have you got to put your iPhone in it?
There's going to be a load of integration with other Apple products, absolutely. It's kind of confusing this because there's been reports that it's going to be, the design will be complete by the end of this year. And then there's a horde of other rumors suggesting that they won't be ready to release anything until 2022, which is rather a long way off. And you would have thought with the sort of fast-paced movement of technology that you couldn't design something now and then launch it in 3 years.
No, that's rubbish. That's a bad idea. You're going to have to redesign that.
Obviously, it's hard to be sure. I think they'll just sort of slowly ramp up the AR, VR stuff. I know they've got a lot of AR stuff planned for iPad next year. So, I mean, it's really good that Apple's embracing VR because, again, you know,
yeah, the more people that do it, the better it becomes. But then, obviously, you're going to get that whole fucking arms race of like, oh, no, you can only get this on this, and this experience is only exclusive to this. And I mean, it is what it is at the end of the day. But, yeah, these things will push VR and AR forward. To be honest, I think I'm more excited about AR than VR.
I think AR looks very, very interesting.
I still remember the old Microsoft, what was it called? Fuck, I can't even remember the name of it. Anyway, the glasses you put on, and then you look down at your table and there's Minecraft. You're like, wow, Minecraft on the table. What was it called?
HoloLens.
There you go, buddy.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Like some of the stuff that you saw there, and as you say, like there's something very, very cool about the idea that, I mean, you will get to the stage where you can just wear a pair of glasses, like standard looking glasses,
just with Wi-Fi in them, and then bam,
and they'll be projecting things on your wall in your house. So, you know, rather than having a TV in the corner, you could have, if you cooking or something, then you can have, you know, stuff on the screen that is projected on the walls in the kitchen with you, for example.
Titty pics.
Above my cooker on the extractor, I could have the web page with the recipe for the dish that I'm cooking, and then I won't have to keep going and referring back to it all the time. I can just glance up. AR allows that to be there almost in real time, as far as I'm concerned, with the glasses. Stuff like that's great.
Awesome.
It's fucking great. So, I think you're right. I think that there's far more opportunity for real-world usage when it comes to AR, whereas VR is very much shut everything out, enter another world.
Yeah, let's go
and,
deep,
you know,
into
the experience
rabbit hole
that you've had with you know, your away day. That's essentially an AR experience, isn't it? Because you're in another environment that's mimicking a different environment. So, yeah, absolutely, buddy. Apple getting involved is a good thing for VR. It's a good thing for AR. And the other big news in that field since we've been away is the news from Valve, where they have announced a new Half-Life game officially.
I'm sure a while ago we said that the next Half-Life is going to be VR. I'm sure we did.
We did. We did, absolutely. And we couldn't see any other reason why.
No, because it
Valve
was that whole thing
invested
of
so heavily in VR technology. Yeah. And also, if you're going to try and sell new technology to people, there's no better way of doing that for gamers than a Half-Life
game. Exactly, because, you know, the previous ones have been like, you know, they had groundbreaking mechanics and stuff in them, so it does make me very, very excited to see what this game is gonna be and what it's gonna do for VR. Now, I'm worried that it could end up being just another, you know, VR shooter or whatever, but it won't be. It's gonna be, there's something about this game is just gonna be like, holy shit, why hasn't anyone done this before, kind of thing, you know what I'm saying?
I don't know, I don't know.
There has to be.
In the past,
if I don't get that out of this VR game, then I'm going to be like, oh well. I expected more.
Valve is describing it as their flagship VR game, the main thing they've been working on. In the past, when Valve has published a video game, then it's been great.
Yep.
Like, wall to wall, it's been great. So, I don't know. A lot of people have mixed feelings about this. A lot of people are very VR skeptic still, and that's fair enough. A lot of people think this is a bad idea, but you can't really argue with the fact that Valve wants to make VR big, and in releasing their biggest IP on it, that's probably them going, this is our best shot at making it this a big deal.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's called Half-Life Alyx, A-L-Y-X, obviously after Alyx,
the kid.
Sort of sidekicking Half-Life 2. anyone who's listening to this now, you know more than I do about it because the big reveal event is tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's 10 a.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. GMT. And so I'll be watching that. And I'm sure a lot of people across the globe will be as well. And I guess we can talk about that next week. It would be silly to start talking about rumors when anyone listening to this could have already looked up.
Yeah, they know what's happened, so
I'm sure we're going to see some interesting stuff tomorrow, and looking forward to it. Should be interesting.
Cool.
So there we are. A bit of VR there. Moving on. Sonic. The Sonic movie. A little while ago, the Sonic movie trailer came out, and it was basically fucking nightmare fuel. So that's not great.
It looked awful.
Sonic looked awful and terrifying and poorly rendered. They said they were going to go and fix it. They've come back, and I think they have fixed it. I think it looks really good now. What they've done, the changes that they've made, Sonic looks far more like basically the Sonic of the Mega Drive era, exactly how you'd want him to look. None of the sort of Sonic Team shite sort of reboots of the, you know, of the last 15 years. He looks really good. And, I was pretty skeptical. I've always been quite skeptical about this sort of movie, like live action with a digital character chucked in. I watched Detective Pikachu on the plane out to the States, and
loved it.
That was quite good. Yeah, okay. I thought it was quite good.
There you go.
Kind of opened up my eyes to the idea that this movie might not be terrible, even though it is kind of a kid's film.
It was very impressive, the characters in that film. They did a very good job with the character creation and everything.
They did. This looks a little bit more like a sort of a half-baked kids comedy film with Sonic in it. But having said that, like, Jim Carrey as Robotnik is kind of good casting, I think, in my opinion.
I don't know.
Kind of works. And
It does work.
It's inevitably going to be a mediocre film, but I don't think it will be an absolute disaster anymore. And that should give a lot of credit to the team that's kind of redesigned.
Yeah.
Because they've only had 4 months, basically.
Just to get it all sorted, yeah.
Yeah, and they've basically replaced the entire model and stitched him into the movie with the shots that they'd already done. So,
yeah.
Something like that's never really happened before.
I'm glad they changed the music on the trailer as well. What the fuck
best.
Was that all about?
Yeah, Gibbons. Yeah. So, Sonic movie. There you go. Moving on, more movie or TV-related news. Witcher, the Netflix series, which hasn't even actually launched yet. I think it's next month, mid-December, that thing comes out, has already been renewed for a second season. Which they're going to start shooting in the spring. So,
cool.
Yeah, new season for that confirmed prior to the first episode even airing of the first season. And, as that gets closer, I'm getting more and more excited for it.
I'm jonesing for a bit of Witcher.
Yeah, Gibbons, buddy. It's a hard Gibbon. Witcher 3, of course, being another one of the games added to, or being added to Game Pass in the coming weeks. So,
there is.
Yet another reason to sub up, buddies, and... yeah, well worth it, I'd say.
Yeah.
A couple of other... Well, it's Xbox heavy, the news, obviously, naturally, because of the event that they had. Rare has announced its new IP, the big new IP. It's called Everwild. It looks like a sort of cell-shaded forest of wee creatures and some woman who looks a bit like a mage. It looks really pretty. It's kind of building off of the Sea of Thieves engine, from what I can tell
footage. Yeah, it does look like that kind of thing.
Yeah. And the trailer doesn't really give the game away in terms
of...
What the gameplay is going to be, what to expect
or anything.
No, like, but it looks like it's going to be...
lovely.
Yeah. It's looking like a third-person action-adventure.
Yeah.
And they've certainly done those very well in the past. So, yeah, true. You know, it's that could be shaping up to be pretty tasty, and looking forward to seeing some proper nailed on gameplay from that at some point soon. So that's Everwild. Other exciting news. This is brilliant, by the way, because
best
I thought this game was fucking
ever.
Awesome. Halo Reach is a really good Halo game. I think it's much better than Halo 4, and certainly better than Halo 5. It's a great game. It wasn't part of the Master Chief Collection, and now it is. It's being added in December, and you'll be able to play Halo Reach remastered as part of the Master Chief Collection. And that's fucking sweet. It's a great game.
Yeah, the Master Chief's dropping on PC as well.
Yep, it certainly is.
So yeah, all that you can play that in on your PC on the 3rd of December, I believe. Yeah.
Yep. Very exciting.
Going to have that installed and I'm going to play it. It's going to be fun.
Gibbons. Yeah, I've been working my way through Halo 2 of late and quite enjoying sort of blasting my way through that. It's quite fun. And looking forward to going through 3. And looking forward to going through Reach now. So that's going to be cool.
Man. It's going to be a giggle.
I like Halo. They're cool games.
I mean, Bungie, mate, they make good games.
They do. They do, and those were some good ones. There you are. Probably my favourite thing to come out of Microsoft and all their various stuff, other than the news that Planet Coaster's coming to Xbox.
Oh, fucking also, sweet, buddy.
Also PS4 next year, and so is Rust, by the way. It was Phil motherfucking Spencer, and he was talking about Game Pass, and... basically how it's sort of an antidote to everything needing to be a live service. And I've been campaigning for most of the last 18 months about how I don't want games that, look, it's season 3, it's season 4. I don't want that. I never have. I think it's cheaper for the publisher and developer and more expensive for the consumer. And I don't want to play thousands of hours of a video game. I want to play dozens of hours of multiple video games. That's always been the way for me.
The way it is, it's a service of games, not a games as a service.
Absolutely right. Yeah.
Which is really nice.
I think more often than not, and I'm sure a lot of people are with me here, games as a service means basically for a worse experience, because it's the developer trying to retain engagement with the title, and that is inevitably usually less creative and less interesting than if they were just making something new. So
yeah, definitely. I mean, obviously you look at the lifespan of Destiny 2, it's in its third year now, and where it is now from where it started is completely different. Me and Cosmic Dad were talking about this the other day. I left the Dance Clan, actually, the other day.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, and I wasn't playing with any of the guys in there anymore, and I wasn't really getting involved on the Discord. So I was like, you know what, I'll open a slot for another dad that might have picked it up, because obviously it's free to play. He might have picked it up now looking for a clan or something. So I was like, yeah, I'll do that. And that game's completely changed now. Like it's just grind, just do a lot of the same stuff, and it's not even fun things. Like I used to enjoy doing like a lot of strikes and just playing the game, Whereas now it seems everything is focused on, like, I've got like about 30 different quests, and the majority of them are just like, oh, go here and get 30 kills with a pulse rifle. And then the next step is, with your pulse rifle, you need to get 15 double kills. Then the next step is fucking some other monotonous thing like that. And it's, they used to be like creative stuff, like story driven content, like where it was interesting. And, but now it's not the game it used to be, buddy, I must say, which is a shame. But yeah, that's all I'm saying. Like you said, these publishers, they need to be trying to get squeeze as much out of the game as possible, kind of thing, as a games as a service kind of thing. And yeah, it's not a great way of doing it. Like if Destiny 2 was a game that I played for a whole year or two with a couple of expansions and didn't have a lot of this like bollocks in it that I was just on about, then I'd be fine with that. You know, I'd buy the expansions, I'd play them, enjoy my time. But it's all this other gubbins that comes along as this service model that I don't like.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I'd probably have less of an issue with those sorts of games if the content was genuine content, yeah, rather than padding.
Yeah, exactly.
But it isn't. And I haven't come across any title that where that's the case, that it's not padding. And I think it's just detrimental to the industry. I think the AAA games, that whole scene is stagnating because of it. As you say, looking at Game of the Year contenders this year, fuck knows, frankly.
I need to play Control.
Come out.
I need to play Control.
We got to get Control. I really want to play that one. But we've had Division 2. We've had Destiny 2's various expansions. Breakpoint, like Rainbow Six Siege, for some reason still going. Like,
fuck me.
These games, they've been around forever. I don't give a fuck about any of them.
The Division 2.
Yeah, the Division 2, which is a game that I own.
Yeah,
because you picked it up. I've never fired it up. I've no desire to. Yeah. I'm just not interested in grinding my way through.
But the game's on Game Pass, buddy.
Yeah.
There you go.
The game's on Game Pass. Don't need to be permanent.
No.
They don't need to be played
one and
this
done,
thing for
buddy.
3,000
hours. That's all
hours.
It needs to be. It hasn't
absolutely
even got to be
right.
One and done. It's just play it, see if you like it. If you do, happy days. If not, fuck it. Play a different one.
Yeah, I mean, there was someone on the Eurogamer forum saying that their favourite thing about Game Pass is that you can fire up and play a AAA title for an hour and then uninstall it, never return to it again, and not feel guilty about
that. Yeah, exactly. And like the amount of games that I've bought, and I've been like, oh shit, I bought this, I need to play it more, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And you know, maybe it's a case of like, I just can't be asked, or I don't want to, or I didn't enjoy it, but because I've bought it, I feel the urge to play these games, you know.
Like, get some perceived value out of it,
exactly.
Even though what you're actually doing is
Whereas
wasting your time
with
as well
this,
as your
like,
money.
You know, I've got, I don't know, 2/3 of the way through Gears 5. I probably won't go back to it and finish it off. I might do one day, but I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care. I've had a lot of fun playing that game, and, you know, I've said my piece about it, and it's a very good game, but I just stopped playing it and I started playing something else. I'm like, oh, I'm all right with that. I don't care. I don't feel the urge to have to go back and play multiplayer and play this, that, and finish the campaign. Like, I didn't buy it. It's Ace.
It's interesting as well. Like, before I just read out this little blurb from Phil Spencer that I really sort of struck a chord this week. There was also some questions asked of him about the idea of Microsoft's first party titles releasing day one onto Game Pass. And a similar question was asked. Obviously, Sony, they're trying to get this PS Now thing up and running with relatively sensible price point finally. And they were talking about, you know, why wouldn't Sony release, you know, first party titles day one on PS Now, strengthen the service, make it more desirable for people to have. And the response was, they thought it diluted those games, like took the fun and the excitement out of the launch. It's not a clean launch if it's launching on the subscription service as well. And they would never want to release games on it because it's like it's a subscription service. It should be separate from their like these are the big names. This is the flagship thing.
I feel like that's so wrong because
I don't know. I mean, I can kind of I understand
what they're saying,
trying to make, but
I love the fact that all like Xbox exclusives just come out day one on this fucking thing. It's amazing.
Exactly. Like, they were talking to Phil about it, and they mentioned Gears 5 as obviously is a very recent example of a large first party game launching on Game Pass. And he came back literally instantly, which is why we love Phil motherfucking Spencer.
He's the man.
Even though we are essentially PlayStation gamers and have been most of this generation.
Yeah.
He came back and said, I don't think that Game of Thrones is part of a subscription service. But I don't think anyone would say that is like less exciting and entertaining because it's wrapped up in a subscription service. Like, and that was like a brilliant response, basically. Yeah. I mean, I suppose really games, it's probably closer to movies than like an ongoing series to a degree. But
true.
I just thought, you know, he's absolutely right there.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, the thing that I just wanted to read out from what he said in an interview this week about Game Pass, this is something that really struck a chord with me. He said this. One of the things I was watching over the last few years is you saw many games and studios chasing service-based games that felt perpetual and felt like they had to last forever to recoup the investment big publishers and studios were making. The nice thing about Game Pass is that it wraps a game inside a service itself. So a game can just be a game, and it's nice to play games with a beginning, middle, and end. And as a subscription, we can support those kinds of games, and in fact, a lot of the games our first and third-party partners are working on take advantage of the fact they don't have to carry the service themselves, they can just live within it.
Which is brilliant.
Which is Phil.
Absolutely brilliant.
And what happens? The Outer Worlds comes out, and it's
totally.
A really fun game that people really enjoy, and it's got a beginning, and it's got a middle, and it's got an end, and it hasn't got a fucking marketplace. It doesn't need it, because it's on Game Pass.
Yeah.
And it hasn't got DLC and Season 2 and Season fucking 3. It doesn't need those things, because it hasn't got a money-grabbing publisher behind it that is insistent on rinsing the consumer for 3 to 4 years
and
whilst not working
beauty,
on anything else.
What they're doing at the moment, obviously, like if you buy a new subscription, it's only £1 for a month. So a lot of people jumped on the Outer World, paid £1 to play it for a month. You know, I did the same thing back when it was announced that you could get it for a quid. I was like, fuck yeah. I ended up buying like 3 months or something for a couple of quid. I was like, brilliant. And because I realized that this service is so good, I've kept the service going, you know. And a lot of people are like, this is ridiculous. Why is it only £1? Obviously, it's to get you to engage with it, to see how good this service is. And, you know, I think they're doing such a good job with promoting the games that are on it. And obviously, at that low entry price point to get you in there, obviously, you know, people are like, oh, they're only giving you a quid, and then they sign you up as like a renewable thing. But that's the fucking same with everything these days. Any kind of service, that's how it works. But yeah
absolutely. The big thing on the store at the moment, it's 3 months of Ultimate for £1 on the console. So that's 3 months.
Yeah, I need you to log in as me
and gold
and sort that out so I get another 3 months.
Gibbons. Yeah,
there's a thing, obviously, if you are an Xbox gamer, there's another thing that you can get 3 months of Discord Nitro free.
Okay.
So if you do that and then go into Discord Nitro, you can also get another 2 months extra Xbox Live Ultimate for free.
As I understand it, you also get 3 months of Spotify premium.
Yeah, you can
free,
get that and a month of EA Access as well. But yeah,
and EA Access.
But yeah, there's a cheeky thing to do with Discord. Give it a little Google, or if you want to know more, I'll ask me on Discord in the channel, and I'll pop a link to how to do it. But yeah, I need you to log in as me on your Xbox and sort me out, buddy.
Gibbons, buddy, will do. Not a problem.
Awesome.
So yeah, that's the Xbox loving for this week.
Yeah, man, seriously.
Let's finish off by talking about Stadia. because it unless you've missed it, and there's every chance that you have.
Yeah.
Stadia launched this week, just gone, officially. So, yeah, there you are.
Yeah.
Although, for the backers, I think the biggest... For the backers, yeah. The biggest headlines are its lack of features and its list of sort of coming soons.
It's always nice.
I've just picked out a few of the sort of more galling things. Lack of cloud sharing, no stream embedding, which is something they were peddling beforehand.
Yeah.
There's no Chrome integration for 4K at this point. So even if you're an Ultimate subscriber, you can only run 1080 in a Chrome window. There's no third-party controller support on the Chromecast they literally sell you. So the only thing you can use with that Chromecast Ultimate, because also no other Chromecast will work, only the one that
only
they're
the
sending
one that
you,
they send with you, yeah.
Because they're going to be firmware updating specific Chromecasts to gate other ones behind a paywall of buying another Chromecast. There's only Destiny included in the subscription. All the other games,
which is silly because it's free to play.
It's free to play, yep. They've added more games to the list. There's 22 games as part of the launch lineup at this point, including a few little extra cheeky ones like the new Grid game, for example.
Yeah.
But all in all, it's a pretty sad, sorry state of affairs. There's only one exclusive across the whole thing. I saw as well, this is pretty fucking amazing, the only way to purchase games and subscription items to Stadia at the moment is on your phone.
It's on your phone, buddy.
You can't do it on the thing you've bought.
Yeah, so say you're in Destiny, you want to buy some silver because you're a massive cunt and you want to buy like an outfit or a weapon.
You're a huge douchebag at this point.
On the PlayStation, you're like, all right, buy silver, click on the button, it takes you to the PlayStation store where you inevitably buy the silver because you are the cunt.
You're a huge douchebag.
Whereas on Stadia, it's like, go to this website and it gives you this web address and you have to punch it in your phone and then go and buy. I mean, well done, Google. You've done well.
I find this lack of integration disturbing, buddy. I can't help but think that the whole thing probably doesn't really work as it should and perhaps shouldn't have launched yet.
Probably should have waited a while, especially because, you know, the people that would have forked out like £120 or whatever it is for this thing, they're going to be even the ones that are going to... Well, they're the ones that's fucking invested in it. You know, they're going to be like reviewers mainly, or people that just think that this is going to be the next thing that's going to be amazing. And for it to launch in this state, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, I also hope that the people who've invested that £120 have looked into the terms and conditions of their internet packages as well, because early reports suggest that, you know, you could be looking up to 25 gig an hour for streaming 4K60 on this service.
Mental.
And last time I checked, most providers in the UK, you know, they state that their service is unlimited, but if you're churning out 20,000 gig a week, then they will cap you because they will cap you.
Of course,
and
they will.
The US is even worse over there because the areas are so big, the competition is so lacking. You know, whole states sewn up by individual suppliers and providers, and if they've got no competition, there's no incentive to provide a good service. And the idea that, you know, they're going to make any sort of changes to that service so that Google has a product that works is fucking pie in the sky shit. So I've no doubt, we all know that this is the future of gaming. You know, once the internet's robust enough and fast enough, then no one will, obviously no one will have a heavy box of hardware under their TV.
Yes. But I'm looking forward to that.
But at this point,
I might never have to buy a new PC ever again.
That would be nice.
Well, I will, because, you know, other stuff, but
Gibbons.
It won't have to be like, you know, 600, 700, 800, 900, whatever, how much you've got to spend to get a decent PC to play games these days.
Exactly.
It can just be something that does stuff. I can just fuck off the graphics card, pretty much.
Gibbons. And, you know, the thing with Stadia, obviously Google is a company powerful and rich enough that this thing doesn't need to immediately succeed. They can have a fucking shit launch and slowly build on the service over like 4 or 5 years and still make a success of it. They can piss money away as much as they like. But as an introduction to gamers who have a horde of alternatives at this moment in time, it's not a great look for Google.
No.
There's already masses of skepticism, and that this has done nothing to alleviate it. So pretty bad. So yeah, there we are. The only other thing I want to mention as part of the news, buddy, is the bitter disappointment I have over my television. I don't know if I've mentioned this before. I bought a 4K television in December 2018.
Yeah, you did.
So I've had it 11 months now. And about 3 weeks ago, it started basically shitting itself, doing weird stuff, crashing, the remote stopping working occasionally. And it slowly just seems to be just killing itself. New problems every day. Sometimes apps don't load at all. Sometimes the thing turns off and back on again.
What the fuck?
The most recent thing I've got is just completely at random, without anything like touching it. It doesn't matter what device you're using. It just keeps flashing up with this message at the top. Unknown device connected, unknown device disconnected. And it just does it. Over and over and over again.
I'm guessing you've Googled the fuck out of this.
I have. I've tried everything. I've done a firmware update. I've rolled back to original factory settings. I've done a hard reset of the whole thing. Luckily for me, it's still under warranty, so I can send it back. I got it on Amazon sensibly, so that I could do just that.
Yeah.
So I'll be sending it back next week, but. I have to say, really not very impressed. And through Googling, I found a lot of reports and a lot of articles about LG's 4K offerings, specifically the higher end LCD displays,
yeah.
Not necessarily the OLEDs and not necessarily the sort of lower end of the spectrum, but the sort of your 4K 200 hertz. LCD offerings, loads of different models. It was hard to find information about my specific television because of the number of different threads for other LG televisions.
That's not good.
With the same problems.
So what are they going to do? Just get a replacement, or are you just going to be like, this is shit, fuck it off?
Well, they can send out an LG engineer. There's a couple of different things that it might be. Apparently the unknown device thing might be related to the wireless adapter, which is apparently just a bog standard like Netgear wireless adapter in the back of that thing.
Yeah.
And it can sometimes, like, if the connections erode, then the TV can think that it's being plugged in and unplugged, even if Wi-Fi is disabled. And by the
fucking
way, there's nothing in the LG firmware that allows you to turn off notifications. If I could just simply turn off notifications,
you'd be all right.
90, most of the problems. But yeah, a lot of people reporting that LG engineers have come out and literally replaced the brain, as they call it, which is essentially the main board.
Yeah,
I'm hoping that Amazon will just deliver me a new television and pick up the old one.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't know. Hopefully they've got their shit together since the first run of these.
Yeah.
If not, then, you know.
6 months down the line.
Yeah, cheese it. And
fuck it.
Get another one again.
Yeah.
But yeah, just a word of warning. I know some of our listeners have pulled the trigger on 4K gaming and some haven't at this point in terms of the TVs they have. As someone who's got an LG TV that up until the last 3 weeks I've been very, very happy with, I would highly recommend that you buy something else.
Well, like, I've the majority of the time I've had Samsung TVs, and all of them bar one have been... Well, you had one of my old Samsung TVs, didn't you?
Yeah, I mean, the only problem with that one, and it was very old by the time it started doing it.
Very old.
It would occasionally turn itself on.
Yeah.
Which was, you know, just something that you had to bear in mind if you were going on holiday.
But,
turn off at the fucking wall.
I had one of my Samsung TVs, like the LED screen failed in it after a year and a half, I think it was. And then I got it replaced And then a year later, it went again. So fuck knows. Sometimes it's just down to the make model. But like you say, if this is a thing on quite a few LGs, then that's more of a wider spread issue, buddy.
Yeah, man, it's difficult to find out these things before you buy because it's so specific. You know, like if you search LG TV problems, then you're not going to get...
There's all kinds of shit.
You're not going to find very much at all. But if you once you see this, you know, if you search LG unknown device connected, then you will find 25 pages of forums and help and all sorts across all different models of LG TVs. And quite conclusively, it's not a software, it's not a firmware thing, it's a hardware problem. And it seems that the boards just gradually over time are deteriorating. So really not a good look for LG. And yeah, maybe I've been unlucky, but certainly buddies, just don't take the risk, learn from my mistakes.
Yeah, there it is, buddy.
It's a very fitting thing to say as I pour myself a large glass of red wine.
Nice.
There we are. Time to move on. And we would normally do Out This Week now, but there's nothing out this week. And hey, I did confirm that on multiple websites, buddy.
Hey, whoa.
If you like news but hate information, you have found the right place. Ash's News Favourite Thing of the Week.
I've only got one thing this week, buddy.
Oh, you've actually got a news favourite thing? It's been a little while.
It's nothing,
so
really.
Just kind of...
But I popped a link in the thing there, in the pod notes, if you just want to watch that. This is a clip of the fastest button basher in town. World's fastest button masher breaks 200 in Mario Party 4 domination. Worth a little Google if you want to see a guy spanking some buttons on Twitch. Look at that action, mate. Look at that action.
Yep. That felt good. Good stuff. Bloody hell. Okay.
Well, for what?
He knows. Yeah, definitely his wanking arm. Fair play. Beautiful, buddy.
There you go.
Well, thank you very much. That was wonderful. The wonderful little flourish at the end of the news. That was your
really
news and my news.
Excited about that.
And that was the news. And as I said, there's nothing out this week, even though we're in the midst of November. There are no games out this week. So there we are.
Gibbons. It is what it is.
Every week we end the show with questions and comments sent in by you. If you've got anything for us, just pop an email to the jfgpodcast@gmail.com or contact us on Facebook, Twitter, or at justforgamers.co.uk.
Now it's time for JFG Street Beat.
You got a question, we want to know. Street Beat. Facebook, Twitter, we're on them all. Street so Beat. Hit us up and be on the show.
Street Beat.
The JFG Street Beat.
Street Beat.
We want to know.
Get on the show.
Get on the show. What does Mike Strider mean by this?
It's level 192 in Rocket League good. I'm guessing he's hit level 192 in Rocket League.
Oh, it's just a cheeky brag.
I feel like it is.
I thought it was a map or something in the game.
No.
I was like, I don't know, mate. I haven't played it.
He's bragging about how much he's played that game.
That does sound like quite a lot of playing that game. That's Mike Strider at level 192 in Rocket League.
Yeah. He loves it.
I suppose it depends on the definition of the word good, buddy, as to whether that is good. Certainly, if you're trying to get high levels in the game, though, I would say yes, that is good. So, yeah, fucking well good. Cheeky stuff. And, yeah, I've actually got the Discord up and running on my phone now, buddy.
What? So I know. So you posted something in there the other day. I was like, what's this cunt doing here?
First time for like 10 months or something.
Yeah.
I've posted anything in Discord other than a picture of a horse. Oh.
Oops.
So, yeah, oops. So, yeah, also in the Discord this week, as I said earlier, I played a bit of Outer Worlds, and Cosmic Dad's been playing a bit of Outer Worlds, and he's finished it. So here's what he has to say about it. Finished the Outer Worlds, just about 20 hours, including most of the side stuff. I thought most of it was really good. I had a disappointing time in Byzantium, where I somehow managed to get into hostile mode with everyone and everything on the planet and ended up killing them all. Thought it was probably a bug, but it only affected an hour or two. I had the can't unequip weapons bug. I had a bunch of stuck and can't move bugs. I had maybe half a dozen crash to desktop bugs, but I only ever lost about 60 seconds of play. Overall, I enjoyed it, but I'm glad I didn't pay for it. The consumable splash inhaler system was just a waste of time.
Definitely.
And the perks were very underwhelming from mid to late game. I didn't understand the point of science weapons either. All of them were shit, in my opinion. getting into that, the Byzantium thing, I had a similar scenario where I, as a possible side option to getting into this dude's house, I could pick up a package from the post office and then act as basically a delivery guy, and that then I'd be able to get into the mansion. I followed what I thought was the right quest point marker, which took me into the back room of the post office, and there didn't seem to be any way to get into the storage room to pick up the package from there. I basically tried everything. I went in and out of the room and all sorts, and eventually ended up aggroing one of the receptionists who I was in the room with, because I was in the back area. They all turned on me, and I was no longer able to basically do anything. Every time I went into that area, then the whole world was shooting at me, and I couldn't get the package, and I ended up killing everyone and had similar problems. It's a bit of an issue, but luckily I was in that one specific area, and each time that game loads from area to area, I think you can only affect the AIs in that area. Now, it sounds to me like Cosmic Dad may have been unfortunate enough to aggro someone in like the overworld of Byzantium. Yeah. Thus aggroing everyone. That game isn't especially clever when it comes to that sort of thing. A bit of an issue. In terms of the bugs that he came up against, it might just be luck, but it sounds to me like there's far more bugs on PC than on console, because I basically haven't seen any of those. I mean, we solved the unequip thing.
Yes.
That was if you're holding a weapon, then you can't unequip it, although that might not be the case with what he's talking about.
Yeah.
But if you put the weapon away, then you can unequip all of them, kind of thing. So it's a shit mechanic, but seems to be what's going on the console version at least. But yeah, stuck and can't move bugs, I haven't had any of those, and it's never crashed either on the console, but it does run like arse, so I suppose swings and roundabouts, buddy. But yeah, similarly, the health system just feels like you can just spam fuck out of it all the time. You have to sort of use the inhaler so rarely that by the time you do need to, you've got like 100 of the fucking health things and you can just, you know, you're essentially invincible. The whole game's too easy. But sounds like he enjoyed it overall. And I feel like I'm in the similar position where it's just a fun game that I'm enjoying playing, but I probably wouldn't want to have forked out sort of full whack for it either. I think you kind of felt the same, didn't you, when you were sort of tucking into it?
Yes, definitely, buddy. Yeah. Yeah. I was just thinking about what one of the scenarios I think I mentioned it when I first played it a while ago, in that first town. I did pretty much all the side mission and everything and got the continuum transfunction or whatever it is I needed for the ship to get her back. And then I saved that and I went back to a previous load and I just shot the mayor. I was like, fuck this. Like, I wonder what happens if I do this, you know? And it was strange how many people reacted to me just shooting that one dude.
Yeah, there's no proximity there at all. Like, you know, a whole town just goes to fucking war with you.
I was
even
like,
if
what's
you
that?
Kill him in
what's
like some random hidden room.
Yeah. But anyway,
ideal.
I am enjoying the Outer Worlds, and once again, it's that Game Pass thing of like, you know, I've stuck so many hours into this game. Have I played enough now? Do I want to find out the ending? I don't know. you know, but at the moment I haven't got any urges to go back to it now, which is nice. And I don't feel guilty about it, buddy.
Gibbons.
Game I do feel guilty about is Fallout 4. I mean, I feel, you know, robbed, really, in that game.
You basically didn't play that, did you? I mean, I played like 30 hours of that game.
I think I stuck about 15, 16 hours into it. I got down to whatever the baseball field place is and minced about there for a long time and did like a shit ton of side quests, and then I just couldn't be arsed, you know.
As I said, though, like it's the perceived value thing.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Who's the bigger cunt? Like you for buying something and only playing it for 15 hours, yeah, or me for fucking pointlessly sticking with it,
yeah,
for double,
exactly,
that time?
But you know,
like, because I felt like I had,
yeah,
to.
Yeah, and that's it. But I feel guilty for not putting more hours into that game, having bought it, kind of thing. Whereas with this game, I just, you know, I'm easy. And it's there if I want to go back to it, kind of thing. Yeah. Anyway,
you just got to like not look at it like that. It's difficult, but at the end of the day, if you make a bad purchase, then forcing yourself to play it, yeah, is not making it a better purchase.
Yeah,
you're just fucking yourself twice. Is basically what you're doing.
Gibbons, yeah.
So yeah, it's the double. It's an old double fucking, buddy. Yeah, that's what it is.
It's always nice. The DP.
The DP.
On going back a couple of weeks, we were talking about you with your text browser or whatever it was, and we got the
textize.net,
that's
yes,
the one, and we got the suggestion from Cosmic Dad and JJ, I think, who's been they both use Brave. Now, for some reason, on my like Google feed that I get on my phone, it popped up the other day that Brave is now out of beta. It's in full release.
No.
So there you go, buddy. Probably the best time to get that. I've installed it on my phone, and that means now I can watch YouTube videos on my phone without adverts. And also, a nice little handy thing on the Brave browser on your phone, you can continue to play videos in the background and also while you lock your phone. So
yeah,
that's kind of tasty. I'm happy with that.
Yeah, I mean that's really handy because there's a lot of YouTube content that's, it's really nice to just have playing. I mean, I know when I used to work in that warehouse, I ended up downloading a version of Firefox, like an old version of Firefox, and if you put YouTube into like forced desktop version in that old version of Firefox, then you could lock your phone and it would keep playing. It was just a weird like glitch that you could do it, but yeah, having a browser that does that,
but
natively,
yeah,
is,
you
is
just go into
really
your
handy
settings, set up the video playback when screen is locked or whatever, and there you go, happy days, YouTube,
really nice
without having to watch it, buddy. So yeah, once again, thanks for the tip, guys. I'm fully on board.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to give that a go, definitely. Sounds like it could be. I've certainly got some interesting privacy settings as well. Could be quite handy for me, for my job, to be honest, because
Gibbons,
I do a lot of looking into people and looking into their social media and stuff in my job. So it'd be quite nice to do that with a little bit more anonymity.
And me cool, weird porn fetishes, you know.
See what they're up to. Nice. Yeah. Fucking weirdos. Did I tell you that? I may well have done. I probably did at the time. I'll just chuck it back
in
there
now.
This
is from a couple
anyway
of weeks ago again.
It's from a few weeks ago when I was looking into a customer and they had a transaction on their fucking bank statement just labeled Chatterbill, which is like
I do remember
Chatterbait
this
subscription.
I don't know
if
you mentioned it on the podcast, but
on
yes,
the show,
yeah,
no, I can't remember either. But yeah, they just sent over an unredacted bank statement. You'd be amazed how often people do that. And they obviously thought, oh, fuck it, they won't know what that is. But I knew what that was.
You knew,
buddy,
what that
was. That's the Chatterbait live cam subscription there. He's obviously bought some tokens to give to some woman who's flashing her gash, and rubbing one out. So
shooting the poon.
So, Gibbons, as they say.
I don't even know if that is a saying. It's now.
It is now.
Shooting the poon. There you go.
Shooting the poon. Yeah.
Anyway.
Beautiful. Well, thanks so much, everyone who got involved this week. Very much.
Can we call this episode Shooting the Poon?
I don't see why not. I don't think that poon is like a, because it's it, you know, the actual meaning of the word poon is what you do to a table that's wonky.
No, so is it? Wow, I did learn something every day.
It's brilliant.
You poon it.
We do it all the time. If you, yeah, you poon it. You need this table needs. You literally, you can sit down in the pub next time, buddy. Yeah. And if the table is wonky, yeah, you can literally go, this needs pooning. That's the correct way of using that word.
That's fucking ace.
Could somebody please poon this table? It needs pooning, and you know,
bit of poonage going on over there. Nice.
Yeah, I mean, there's various different, you know, some things are better for pooning than others.
Obviously,
tissues, beer mats, menus, that sort of thing.
Yeah,
excellent. If something needs to be pooned,
yeah, classic poon material.
Shooting the poon, excellent. Well, thanks so much, buddies. I think that's probably it, B. We should probably fuck off. I don't know what we're going to do now. I don't very much care. I'm just free and loose and easy, buddy, taking it as it comes.
It's what it is, buddy. We'll see what happens.
Gibbons, we'll be back next time with another exciting episode, and hopefully there'll be some games released. That'd be good as well.
Doubt it.
Until then, though, thanks so much for listening. I've been Alex. He has been Ash.
Goodbye.
Farewell. You've been listening to the JFG podcast with Ash and me, Alex. You can find us at www.thejfgpodcast.co.uk, where you'll also find our Discord and Streetbeat if you want to get involved with the show. Our Facebook is /thejfgpodcast, and our Twitter handle is @thejfgpodcast. We're on all those video streaming sites too, buddies, from ChewTube to twitch.tv/thejfgpodcast to mixer.com, aka beam.fuckingpro. We've got a PS4 community you can join, just search the JFG podcast on there, and we're also on Google+, if that is how you choose to live your life. Thanks so much for listening, buddies. We'll catch you next time.